This is the Generations Radio broadcast, friends. Kevin Swanson, your host, with you today. Dave Buhner also in the studio with us. Just a couple of dads in studio as we put together a few pieces of the broken down, busted up Western civilization, trying to retain something of faith, family, and freedom in the Western world during the massive takeover of apostates, socialists, those who want to destroy human civilization as we know it, do not share our socioeconomic perspective. However, we think that God is preserving something of a remnant in the present day as the other civilization breaks down. Another civilization is growing and expanding, and hopefully we're going to see something like what we saw with the fall of Rome. As Rome corrupted itself, economically and socially, of course, you had the Christian faith that had come along and adopted the orphans, developed their own care for the elderly, and developed their own charitable systems, and based all of their principles upon God's word, and established a church. And friends, that's really what's going on right now in the Western world. Of course, much of the Christian, the old Christian West, is apostatizing, but there is a faithful Christian remnant that is coming out of the mess and developing a distinctively Christian worldview in the midst of the disaster we see around us. Well, my friends, would you come out of the Family Economics Conference in Seattle, Washington, or Ocean Shores, Washington, over the weekend? And, Dave, it was an outstanding success. 1,100 people packed into a tiny little hall. We didn't think we were going to get more than 600, but we packed out the Family Economics Conference, closed up registrations 2 months before it happened. And, Dave, this thing is taking off around the country. We're talking about developing a different social system. We're talking about things like how to get along without Social Security, how to take care of your parents in their old age. How to abandon Obamacare. Now is the time to do it. So now is the time to be making plans. I realize many of the other lemmings are going to be running off the cliff with Obamacare and spending $24,000 to $28,000 a year for their health care and spending lots and lots of money on abortions and abortifacients, Plan B pills for 14-year-old girls. I realize that many, many Christians are going to be committing themselves to abortifacients for 14-year-old girls, but the rest of us are saying, no, we're going to exempt ourselves from Obamacare in 2014 thanks to the exemptions allowed, including the Christian Medical Sharing Ministries. And, Dave, on and on we go. We're talking about mentoring our young men at 14, 15, 16 years of age into business and being sure that they are learning entrepreneurism. They're learning how to be mentored, how to network into the macroeconomy. And we're explaining how to develop a unified family economy so you do not have to enslave your daughters and create the social economic system we see today where 61% of millennial households are provided for by the woman as the primary breadwinner and only 17% by the men because the men are walking off the plantations. Okay, so Dave, I mean, we're talking about really constructive things. I mean, really constructive things in the midst of the decline in Western civilization. We've got some solutions. These are the solutions, and they're working.
Well, Kevin, the foundations of our economic system are going to be destroyed. They're falling down around us right now. We're $20 trillion in debt on paper, but really it's closer to $100 trillion when you look at unfunded liabilities. And when you look at state debt and you look at personal debt, the number exceeds the wealth of the world. And that's just this country. So we're in deep financial problems right now. As soon as the U.S. currency is no longer the world standard, the value of the dollar, well, all bets are off. So the foundations of our economy are being destroyed right in front of us. When the foundations are destroyed, what will the righteous do? Well, the righteous, see, they're built upon better foundations. They're built on the word of God. We're trying to construct our lives, including our economics, upon a foundation that is the word of God. And the word of God is very clear in some of these economic issues. It says you don't work, you don't eat. It says you don't care, you take care of your own family. You're worse than an infidel, so take care of your family. It says a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. He says, do not steal. And we're taking these principles and we're trying to bring them down to a very pedestrian, situational level, how to live those out in this world, in this place, at this time.
Well, and the opportunity is all over the place. The social planners are doing everything they possibly can to destroy the character of the nation. Hey, friends, we have spent our great-grandchildren into debt. We have used up the character of our great-grandfathers. We no longer have the character of what people had in 1929. The people who had built this nation with their hands and their arms, and they had put together a tremendously productive country. No, we don't have that character anymore. We have 50% of kids born outside of wedlock, up from 2% at the turn of the 20th century. We've got 70% of young men not grown up by 30 years of age, up from 30% in 1970, because they don't have jobs and playing games while Rome burns. Okay, so that's what the social planners have put together for us, but we're taking up Plan B. And we believe it's time to stop cursing the darkness and light candles, and that's why the Family Economics Conference is. By the way, there will be more next year. Stay tuned at FamilyEconomics.com if you're interested in putting together something unique, something different, something that will stand, something that will provide something for your kids and grandkids in the years to come. And, Dave, you spoke on what's happening with the system around us. It's falling down around us all the time. And I think it's the majority of Americans right now on the government dole. The majority of Americans on the government dole, some 35 million people on food stamps. And, Dave, you heard what happened down in Mississippi at the Walmart, that for somehow a computer glitch would not allow the system to take food stamps, the EBT card. I don't know what EBT card stands for, but I think it has something to do with food stamps. But anyway, what happened was these customers were unable to use their food stamps for like an hour or something like that. And the whole thing turned into a mob, and people were taking carts of groceries out without paying for them. Well, of course, that's what they were doing with food stamps, but they decided, who needs food stamps? On the one hand, Dave, you could steal using food stamps, or you can steal by just stealing.
And, Kevin, I'm looking at pictures of this Walmart in Louisiana.
Yeah. And what's it look like?
Well, the shelves are empty.
Oh, no. I mean, they raided this place.
Oh, yeah, yeah. This was not about a guy needing bread to live.
Uh-huh.
This was about taking everything and anything they could get away with. And that's the new morality, isn't it? Whatever you can get away with.
Well, friends, this is exactly what the welfare system is all about. You have to understand, friends, welfare is stealing. The food stamps is robbery. And to participate in food stamps is to steal. And yes, you're using government to do it for you, but it's still stealing. Exodus chapter 30, Exodus chapter 23 says that the rich and the poor shall be treated alike by the civil government. And when it comes to taxation for some kind of civic projects, the poor shall not pay less and the rich shall not pay more. Biblically speaking, you are not to steal. It's called the eighth commandment. Thou shalt not steal. And yes, you could hire somebody. You could hire a government, for example, to go door to door with a big gun or with a big baseball bat and force people to pay money to them so that they could redistribute part of it to you. You could do that. And you could use the ballot box in order to accomplish that. But, friends, I'm telling you, what LBJ came up with, the welfare system, is evil to the core, and it is corrupting the inner city, and that's what's produced some 75% of these people born outside of wedlock, up from 25% back in the 1960s when LBJ came up with this brilliant idea of using welfare and food stamps to salvage the inner cities. Isn't happening. It is not happening. And what happens when the government shutdowns affects welfare and food stamps, Dave? On the 72% of these kids born outside of wedlock have hardly the character to do any work. And, Dave, I tell you what, there's going to be blood on the streets.
Oh, there will be. We'll have riots. There'll be Rodney King-style riots as soon as people think they can get away with it. And I think that is really the question. Can we get away with it? And we see that from our leaders in Washington. We see that all the way down to the Walmarts in Louisiana. You know, Kevin, I think when you talk about the states taking money that doesn't belong to them, imagine we're not talking about the state. Imagine we're talking about the mafia here. And the mafia boss says, you know, Louis, he needs to be bumped up. I'm going to send Guido there to kill him. Now, is the mob boss guilty of murder? Well, yeah. Of course he is,
yeah.
Even though he was not the one who pulled the trigger. What LBJ did was to hire goons, the IRS and others, to take money in order to give it to who they wanted to give it to. It's theft, but it's theft. It's one step removed from getting their hands, the politicians getting their hands caught, taking money out of other people's accounts. It's the government, though, taking that which is not rightfully theirs in order to give it to those who can help empower those in government. And the government is trying to increase its power by the bribery, but it's also doing, you said, it's difficult for people to want to go to work. That's why they're on their EBT cards and stuff. But the government's dangling the carrot. They're making free government stuff. bribes in order to support them. They're making they're available all the time. We got more people on food stamps in this administration than we've ever had by a factor of many times.
Dave,
on the other hand, it makes it more difficult to go into business.
Yeah, Dave, I spoke to a homeschooling dad who for 10 years, this guy was Hispanic fella, working for 10 years in an inner city trying to develop an inner city church for 10 years. And Dave, this is the real deal. Okay, there's a lot of people out there sort of fakey, trying to pretend like they're doing something in inner city, all right? But this is the real deal. This guy was up to his elbows in alligators, and he was working with, you know, women with three husbands and didn't take the time to divorce two or three of them, and they were working on the next one. And, you know, the typical mess, druggy stuff, people accused of first-degree murder. I mean, the whole thing. So he's in the inner city trying to work with the 72% of these kids born outside of wedlock, okay? So he's trying to put some things together. He said it was real. I mean, he got 50 or 60 people he thinks – probably were converted in the process. But he said, here's the deal. His two rules were, got to get out of the system. He had them homeschool, and he had them stop media. He had them get rid of television, pull out their iPods as best as he could. He really worked hard to try to unplug the system that was corrupting the minds of the inner city family. Ergo, he couldn't operate with John Dewey and Lady Gaga in their worldviews corrupting the inner city mind, or gangsta rap or whatever else is being plugged into the iPods. So, Dave, anyway, this guy worked very, very hard for 10 years. He says it was a disaster overall. I mean, at the end, he sort of had to pull the plug on the thing after 10 years of hard work. And he said the thing that was in the way of getting these people to repent and change their lives and really run their lives a different way, especially in the area of working with their hands to provide to others, so that they would no longer steal, but actually work with their hands and repent and begin to engage in the marketplace, and so that they could give charitably to the church and to others and to the poor and the congregation. Okay, this kind of stuff wasn't happening. He said the thing that was in the way was the United States federal government and their food stamps program. He says as long as welfare was offered, I mean, he said a lot of them had great motivations. They would talk about their motives and talk about how they're going to do this and going to do that, and we're going to get a job over here and getting a job over there. But he said the welfare system what made it practically impossible for anybody to repent of their sins in the inner city and really live the godly life of working with their own hands so that they could give to others who are in need. Okay, that kind of system, that biblical socioeconomic system, the honest system, not the Marxist system of the welfare and the food stamp programs, was practically impossible for the inner city person to follow because of what was going on with the government systems forcing these people or pushing these people, oppressing these people into a redistribution of the wealth, Marx's sort of a lifestyle.
Well, whether you think the government did this intentionally or not is really not even the point. The point is when you get paid more not to work, then you can get paid to work, especially at the beginning when you're starting a career or starting a business. When they're going to give you more welfare for not working than you could receive working a legitimate job, most people are going to go for the higher payment, which means not working, which means their dependency, their slavery to the system, those shackles get thicker and thicker every and every year.
And they've destroyed the faith and the family of the inner city by this means. Friends, you destroy the freedom of the inner city by providing socialist systems and getting these people onto the federal plantation, as Thomas Sowell would put it. You destroy their freedoms. You'll probably destroy their family. Ergo, after about 30 years, 75% of the kids will be born outside of wedlock because the father has been made irrelevant to the household economy. And you will destroy the faith because if you drag them into a thievery system and make them complicit in a system that redistributes wealth and takes illegitimately from one class and gives it to another, you are going to destroy the faith of the inner city and make churches in the inner city practically impossible to do. Okay? This is the challenge of the inner city today, and we're certainly seeing this thing happen, play out at Walmart, Dave. These people are trained to steal. They understand that life is about stealing from others, and government has been assisting by the way of the welfare systems and the food stamp cards. And when the food stamp card fails, what do they do in Mississippi, friends, but crowd into a Walmart, fill their carts with goods, and ripped the store off. And, Dave, this is what the stores are saying. Walmart has not ruled out pressing charges against customers who allegedly attempted to walk out of one of Mississippi's stores with groceries that hadn't been paid for after a computer glitch left them unable to use their food stamp cards. We haven't made any type of determination. Our focus continues to be on our customers, Walmart spokeswoman Kayla Whaling said regarding the disturbance Saturday that briefly closed down the Walmart in Philadelphia. Didn't realize there was a Philadelphia in Mississippi, but anyway, that's what's going on.
And it wasn't limited just to Mississippi. This story I'm looking at is from Louisiana, and we have it in other states as well. Mm-hmm. What the government system does is very evil. It's very cruel.
It programs them to steal.
It destroys character.
It teaches them to steal.
It destroys character. But it destroys generations, and it destroys the mechanisms for building character. Take fathers out of the home. Children are no longer disciplined. Young men are not trained to be men. They're trained to be thieves and robbers and gang members. And you're not able to pass on an inheritance to your children's children, which means that your grandkids in the inner city are being born with no capital to start anything with. They don't have a father in the home to teach them how to get it. We have destroyed entire cultures, the inner city urban cultures, by this government benevolence, which is anything but nice, anything but kind. It is cruel and malevolent.
Ladies and gentlemen, we need to disciple the nations, which means even the inner city families and friends. We have to get them off of the welfare systems. We have to bring them into a discipleship programs in which they will be discipled in character and encouraged to work with their hands so that they will have something to give to him who has not. Friends, here's the deal. We have to encourage the people in our wake, the people in our relationships, the people within our communities, within our churches, not to take the welfare. You should sign up to starving to death before you take welfare. And then you engage in relationship, in local, voluntary, relational forms of charity in the local churches. And if the churches will not provide and they will see to it that the poor starve to death, then of course the blame will be upon them. We need to force charity back into the local communities, into the local churches, and we have to develop accountable relationships between the elders, the deacons, and the people attending our churches, where there will be an encouragement and equipping to the young men to get out there, roll up their sleeves, and begin to work and provide for their own households. This is the only solution. The only solution to the degradation brought upon us by LBJ and the socialist state. And it's not just LBJ, it's the Republicans and Democrats that vote for these budgets every single year. No, we ought to encourage anybody who wants to have any kind of faith, family, or freedom in the 21st century to say no to food stamps and welfare and develop godly churches, godly families, and godly character, where men and women are developing family economies and working with their hands so that they can provide for those who have more. This is Kevin Swanson, and we'll be back in just a moment with more. Welcome back to the Generations Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host, with you today. And here's a Gallup poll. Just came out recently. Record number of Americans believe government is too powerful. 6 in 10 Americans believe that government's too powerful. According to a new Gallup poll, the highest proportion since Gallup began asking the question in 2002. And Dave, this is a Christian Post article indicating that Americans are getting fed up with big government, and yet they continue to vote for it. It's interesting. I mean, they can complain about it, but they've not. I don't think it's affecting them enough to want to reverse the trends, because government's becoming more and more powerful only because the people have given the government that power and continue to do so with each successive election. Occasionally, the pendulum swings back our side just a little bit, but usually it comes back our side 10 degrees and goes back the other side the next election 20 degrees, back to our side 5 degrees, back their side 30 degrees. Dave, this is what's happened over 120 years. It's hard to believe that Americans are fed up with too much power in governments these days. They're not really voting for people who would decrease the size of the government. Now, I haven't seen the government just decrease in size for 9 to 25 years.
I don't think it's decreased in size since about time of the Civil War. I think they had a large gain there. It's not really a pendulum when you think about it. It's never swung back. We've always get more and more government. All we do is slow down the rate of increase. That's the best we've been able to affect, is slow down the rate of increase. We keep going to more and more and more government. And it doesn't matter if it's the big government Republicans in office or if it's the big government Democrats in office. It's only going one direction. The only thing that changes is the rate.
Yeah.
And so I'm not very hopeful that the system can correct itself. I'm not very hopeful because it seems that the Republicans want to get out in front because they want a bigger piece of the pie, and the Democrats want to get out in front so they can have a bigger piece of the pie. And we don't have character. I work, as you know, one of the things that I do is I work in a neighborhood homeowners association. They elected me because I said, you know, what we really need a homeowners association for is to really keep us from having a homeowners association. Mm-hmm. That was kind of my platform.
That was your platform?
Yeah.
And they elected you?
And they elected me.
Okay.
I was one of the few people who wanted the job, Ed, it turns out, too. And I said to them, rather than let's have a stack of regulations about how a neighbor can treat another neighbor and how a neighbor can offend another neighbor, how about we do this? How about if your neighbor does something that's offensive to you, you walk over to them and say, hey, neighbor, can we talk about this car that you have on blocks that's rusting right in front of my window? Can we just talk about that maybe? Because, you know, that's not helping our neighborly love situation a little bit. But that would take character, you see. It's so much easier to run and say, homeowners association, let's have laws about not having rusty Chevys on blocks on the driveway.
Yeah, yeah. And Dave, as you know, relationships and character and getting together and working things out between neighbors, so much better than electing tyrants to develop 60,000 pages of regulations by which you're going to operate your system. And Dave, here's an interesting story from CNN News. Apparently the Obamacare law, remember, is some 2,000 pages long. The regulations are 60,000 pages. It's 30 times larger than whatever the bill was.
We had to pass the law to figure out what was in it, because you remember when it was passed, it hadn't even been finished being written.
Yeah.
So we had to pass it to know what's in it, and now we have to implement it to know the regulations.
Craziness.
I got a picture here of the regulations.
Yeah.
And it's from the floor of 8.5, 11 sheets of paper stacked all the way to the top of a flagpole. There's a person's
to the
hand,
top of a flagpole.
So the person's hand is not able to reach the top of the stack. Yeah. I'm guessing that's about 40 reams of paper.
Right. Okay. And this is the big government that we elected, and we elected him twice, didn't we, Dave? Didn't we elect him twice? Seems to me that we elected him 2008 and 2012. So it's not as if, 60% of Americans don't like big government. Well, why did they vote for Barack Obama then? And why would they have voted for Mitt Romney? Evidently, he was the Republican champion, and he's the big government guy out of Massachusetts who brought Obamacare look-alike to his state. So, friends, again, this is what Americans love. They love big government. They want 60,000 pages of regulations. They want the government to control medical care to the tune of $24,000 per family per year. But see, there's an opportunity, I think, to exempt out. I know there is. Friends, it is in the Obamacare law. The exemption was provided for the Christian Medical Sharing Ministries. And for those who don't want to pay $24,000 a year and would like to pay $3,600 a year, which is what going to be like one-sixth of what the others pay, and want to pay off their houses in 10 years with what they save off of their medical care for over the next 10 to 15 years of their lives, if they don't really want to pay for the Obamacare requirements of abortifacients for 14-year-old girls, if they would really not like to participate, if they don't want to tyrannize themselves under the Obamacare system of 60,000 pages of regulations, why not opt out? If you have the freedom to opt out, why not do it? Very few people will do it. You know that it will barely be 1% of Americans that will exempt themselves from it. I'm thinking maybe 2 to 3 million Americans will exempt themselves. At this point, it's probably not higher than about 100,000 Americans exempting themselves. But, you know, best case, we might see 2 to 3 million Americans exempt themselves, because there are still a few Americans left in America who love freedom enough to self-govern themselves and take responsibility for their own medical care, for the medical care of their own families, and use whatever means they can to be free from the system, which includes a Christian medical sharing ministry like SamaritanMinistries.org. I encourage everybody to go to SamaritanMinistries.org before Obamacare kicks in on January 1st, 2014. Now, Dave, here's another benefit of the Obamacare exemptions. Evidently, the corporate mandate does not apply to companies with less than 50 employees. This will enable Christian companies that don't want to become mega corporations and enslave tens of thousands of people, but want to keep a decentralized approach and do a lot of contractualization. This will allow Christian companies to exempt themselves from Obamacare and provide Christian medical sharing ministries to satisfy the individual mandate for their employees. So, Dave, what I'm seeing is a tremendous opportunity. God is opening up islands of freedom for anybody who wants to be free. You want to be free? You can be free. Okay? You want to be free? You can be free. You do not have to play by the system. You can opt out. You can opt out on the public schools. You can homeschool. You don't have to redistribute the wealth of the community into your own household to educate your own child. You don't have to do that. You can be free. You don't want to submit yourselves to the regulations of 60,000 pages of federal regulations over medical care in your family's life. You can opt out. You do not have to participate. Dave, it boils down to either a desire to self-govern and be responsible and to be free, or to enslave yourself to the gigantic, totalitarian, draconian system of Obamacare.
We certainly have many individuals, many groups of individuals, going right back to the very government that enslaves them, asking for exemptions, asking for government subsidies in order to help them afford this debacle. It is said that the average adult reading speed, and this must be adults who can read, if they were to try and read the regulations, it would take them 32 days with no sleeping. This is 32 days straight just to get to the bottom of the stack of the regulations that they're submitting themselves to. How bad is this? Well, consider that James Madison once said, "It would be of little avail to the people if the laws that are made by men of their own choice, if the laws be so voluminous that they cannot be read, or so incoherent that they cannot be understood, if they be repealed or revised before they are promulgated, or undergo such incessant changes that no man who knows what the law is today can guess what it will be tomorrow. Law is defined to be a rule of action, but how can it be a rule which is little known and less fixed?" This healthcare law has undergone 40 changes since it was passed by Congress, by the executive. This is tyranny. This is tyranny. This is tyranny. And if you want to be free, you have to make the choice to be free.
Guys like Samuel Adams, John Adams, and Patrick Henry would turn over in their grave if they knew what was going on in this country. We have embraced tyranny. We, to the umpteenth degree, we have become one of the most tyrannized people who have ever lived in the history of mankind, and we have elected these tyrants to rule over us. And our forefathers who went to war over 17 cents of annual taxation would be appalled over what we have done in turning 65 to 70% of the gross national income over to government control and government spending. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a gigantic tyranny on our hands. Shame on us. We've become a bunch of slaves that kiss the chains that bind them, and we will be the spite of future generations of free men who will look back at this generation and think, what a bunch of communists, what a bunch of slaves that submitted themselves to socialist governments and Obamacare back in 2014. But not so for this family. We have exempted ourselves from Social Security, and we will exempt ourselves from Obamacare as well, and we will exempt ourselves every opportunity we can from any kind of tyrannical government control in our own lives. Why? Because 1 Corinthians 7:21 says, if you can be free, use it rather. You are bought with a price. Be not the servants of men.
And Kevin, I think the future will look back at this time and they will say Esau. Esau, though he sought repentance with tears, there was no room for it. We have found ourselves, we have sold our birthright for a mess of pottage, and it's going to be very, very difficult for America as a whole to turn back. We will not find repentance no matter how many tears we shed over it.
I know it's going to take faith, friends, to rid yourselves of socialist government. I know it takes faith to exempt yourself from Social Security. I know it takes faith to exempt yourself from the big socialist Obamacare system. I know it takes faith to sign up for a rinky-dink little Christian medical sharing ministry and trust in God and trust in your brothers and sisters in Christ to take care of your needs. I know it takes faith, but the just will live by faith. It turns out the Christian life is a life of, well, faith. So, you're going to be a Christian, I guess you're just going to have to live by faith. Worst case scenario, it's going to take faith. So with that, we're going to wrap up this edition of the Generations Radio broadcast. And ladies and gentlemen, if you love liberty and you love freedom and you want an agenda for freedom and you want to leave your children with a vision for freedom, sometime in the next, say, 50 to 100 years, perhaps freedom may return somewhere in the world in the next 100 years, and that's why I wrote my book, The Second Mayflower. It's a vision for freedom returning somewhere in the world over the next 100 years. Just pass this on to your children and your grandchildren. Get enough books for your children and grandchildren because they're going to need it. They're going to need a vision for the future, and that's why I laid it down in my book, The Second Mayflower. Ladies and gentlemen, you can get The Second Mayflower at our website, kevinswanson.com or generationswithvision.com. This is Kevin Swanson, inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.